Ephesians chapter 4. One of our older evangelists, who has now gone on, said that there are too many people sitting on the premises instead of standing on the promises. And the church fails to recognize that you are called to do the ministry. That God ordained that apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And so what we're going to do this morning is tell you how Jesus trained his disciples and what you need to be able to fulfill the calling on your life, because that calling is for every one of you. What has happened in America is that the church has become so pastor sensitive that they do nothing. And God is calling the church to activity, to ministry. That as you go out in the workplace, you are touching people's lives for Jesus Christ. Another thing, and the whole message this morning is going to be on the work of the Holy Spirit, but another thing that has happened, churches have tried to do ministry with absolutely no anointing of the Holy Spirit. They have their programs, they have their things, they have the things they do, and they have a huge crowd, but nothing's happening. In fact, as one of our biggest evangelical churches, the pastor realized that the activity does nothing to cause spiritual growth in the people, and they stopped a lot of the activity. Now, raise your right hand with me. Just say with me, I have been equipped and ordained by God to do the work of the ministry, to touch people's lives, to flow in the anointing and the authority and power of God for His kingdom. And there's no excuses why I don't do it. Now, here's what happens. Because many people try to do it without the work of the Holy Spirit, they have a program, they follow the guidelines, they do that, they get wore out. They get burnt out. The rest in the body of Christ, as we preached a few weeks ago, is through the Holy Spirit and allowing Him to do through us that which needs to be done. So here's what Paul says, and you think I'm out of bounds, you can just take the Bible. How many believe the Bible yet? Amen. How many believe it, but you don't like it? In verse number 11 of Ephesians chapter 4, and I quoted some of it for you, and He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. I'm going to stop there. I know it says, till we all come to the unity of the faith, the Holy Spirit does that too. And to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man or mature man. Jesus had 3.5 years to train and equip His disciples. And not only that, in that same time, He took another 70 and He sent them out. That ministry began after the River Jordan experience with John the Baptist. And John the Baptist said, there's one coming after me whose shoes I'm not worthy to tie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, I preached some of this last week, and that was just an introduction to where we're going. But then, when Jesus came to John and said, I need to be baptized by you, John looked at him and said, but I need to be baptized by you. I believe there are two different trains of thought. He had preached that Jesus was going to baptize them in the Holy Spirit and with fire, and that's the baptism that John wanted. He knew it was deeper than just water. Well, that's a play on words. I didn't mean to. But it is deeper than the water. Now, after Jesus was baptized, keep in mind, he talked to the wise guys in the temple when he was 12. But there's nothing recorded of ministry until after the Holy Spirit had come upon him in the form of a dove. And so after that, he began picking his 12 disciples. And the interesting part about that is simply this. They didn't have their own anointing. They didn't have the Holy Spirit in the sense that we know today. Because Jesus told them later in John 14, he will be with you and shall be in you. And so Jesus took his anointing and placed that anointing on his disciples. And he gave them, the Bible says, power and authority to heal diseases, to cast out devils, and even to raise the dead. That all came from Jesus to his disciples. And so they went and did that. And then he took 70 more, sending them out two by two. And the Bible says Jesus told them to go heal the sick and then tell them the kingdom of God has come unto you. So he, in that network of people, he had 82 people that were ministering. But there was a problem. The problem was Jesus was leaving. And as Jesus left, his anointing went with him. How do we know that? Where were the disciples at when Jesus came after the resurrection? What were they doing? They were hiding. The Bible says in John 20 that they were hiding for fear of the Jews. What did Peter do when they were taking the one he loved? And don't ever question Peter's love for Jesus. They took the one he loved and were going to crucify him, and Peter just was drained, everything left. And he said, no, I don't know him, three times. And so if Jesus was leaving, going back to heaven, something had to happen to these disciples to get them empowered in the authority and the anointing of God so they'd carry on what he ordained them for. And something very specific needs to happen in our life so we carried on your purpose and the reason he called you. Because how many of you, when it comes time to pray for somebody or lay hands on somebody and do something, you say, oh, not me. Let Pastor do it. Let Kirk do it. There's a good one. Let Stan do it. And so we back away and people say, well, I'm not afraid. Of course you are. You may say, well, I'm timid or I'm shy or I don't like to be in front of people or I don't like this. Let's just cut to the chase. Something is limiting our ability given to us by God to do the work that he's called us to do. Bill Johnson said something very important, and it's this. How many have ever, before I get there, I want to clarify this. How many have ever read, "Go ye therefore into the world, preaching the gospel to every creature"? Anybody ever read that? How many have ever looked at that and said, "I need to go into the world, preach the gospel"? How many have ever read, "These signs shall follow those who believe"? How many have ever read that? How many of you are believers? So are you following signs or signs following you? Amen? Amen. Come on, I want the best for you. And the best that you can ever receive is from God.
Amen.
It's beautiful. And so Jesus commissioned his disciples. Raise your right hand. Say this with me. I am commissioned by God to do the works of the ministry. Okay. When God commissioned his disciples, he gave them the authority. The authority comes through the commission, according to Bill Johnson. But there's one thing lacking. You not only need the authority, you need the power. The power comes through a God encounter. The power came to the disciples through their relationship with Jesus Christ. And so as they went forth, the commission was given to them, which gave them authority to do what God told them to do, but the encounter gave them the empowerment to do what God told them to do. Now, this is all post-Pentecost. Okay? Jesus dies. For 3 days, they're without his presence. And we saw what happened. Don't think not living in the Holy Spirit can't affect you. They denied his resurrection. They denied the things that were going on. How do I know that? Because the Bible says when Jesus got out of the grave, he came and he chewed them out because they didn't believe the reports of his resurrection. Amen. They went to a house and they were just in fear. Can you imagine? How many have ever been afraid? Can you imagine you're living in fear and all of a sudden somebody walks through the wall? What does that do to your fear? And so, there they are. Now Jesus began to teach before he died and after he died. Jesus began to tell them, "Behold, I'm going to die, but I want you to go to Jerusalem, and I want you to tarry there. I want you to stay there until you be clothed or endued with power from on high." After the resurrection, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, they started asking him about, "When are you going to establish your kingdom?" And he said, "That's not for you to know, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the world." He's sending them forth. He's giving them authority. But they had to have an encounter. He tells them that it's expedient, it's very important that I go away in John 16. Because if I don't go away, the comforter, the paraclete, the helper will not come. But if I go, I will send him to you. And then he tells them again, stay there until you be clothed with power. And so we come to a place, and I'm hurrying. I got a lot of stuff down here, but I'm not. We come to a place of post-Pentecost. And you need to look at that. And you need to look at the importance of the day of Pentecost, not only for the disciples and the 120, but for us. Churches have split over the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Churches have split. People have left. Others have run away because of speaking in tongues, and that's our problem. We put too much emphasis on the tongues and not enough emphasis on the person of the Holy Spirit. I believe we'll speak in tongues, but that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is to be full.
Yes. Amen.
Amen?
Yes, amen.
The tongues are there. And the Bible tells us, building yourself up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, some of that will be in tongues, and some of that will be as the Holy Spirit gives you words to pray that are intelligent, that we understand. I'm not saying tongues are not intelligent, they're just not understood.
Amen.
Unless you have the gift of interpretation, which is a whole different ballgame. It's not talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the gift of tongues and interpretation to the body of Christ that needs to be interpreted. We okay?
Yeah.
And so here's what happened. How many of you ever, it sounds a little gross, but how many of you ever been with somebody when they died? Do you pay attention to their last words? Pretty important. The last thing that we have recorded that Jesus told his disciples was, you will be empowered as the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be witnesses unto me. The last thing, the Bible says in the next verse, he was taken up. I am not going to minimize the effects of the power of the Holy Spirit in your life or in my life. But there's a major problem when the Church of Jesus Christ doesn't get interested in what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives. And in this place, I haven't preached on it enough. Because can you understand the radical change that happened in the disciples' life after the day of Pentecost compared to before the day of Pentecost? After the day of Pentecost, they were hiding, they were afraid, they were running, they didn't believe, they wouldn't accept. After the day of Pentecost, these people are been speaking in tongues and magnifying the Lord, and somebody says, these people are drunk, and the one that would be least expected to stand up and display to them the purpose of the Holy Spirit was the same one who denied Jesus. Now he's full of the Holy Ghost, and he's standing up and he's saying, this is not, we're not drunk being the ninth hour, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel.
Amen.
In the last days I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Please, take hold of this. And so what happens? First message Peter preaches that we know of, 3,000 people come to Jesus Christ. The second message they preach, 5,000 people come to Jesus Christ. They're doing exactly what Jesus did. Acts chapter 3, they go to the gate beautiful. Hour of prayer, the lame man is laying there since birth. Peter walks up to him, and he knows what he wants, but he says, silver and gold I don't have, but such as I have I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he didn't stand back and wait for him to get up. He took his hand, he pulled him up, and the man went running and leaping and praising God. Then they come to a place where the Sanhedrin, the family of Caiaphas, the high priest, and others go to throw him in prison. They get out, amazingly. They're found preaching the gospel in the city. They go get them and they bring them before that and they say, "We've told you not to preach in his name." The same Peter looks at them and said, "Whether we should believe you or God, you judge." And then he goes into the fact that this Jesus, whom you crucified, is the only way of salvation. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. No other name. And so something happens. Go with me to Acts chapter 4. I want to show you this. Acts chapter 4. Verse 18, they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. You're not talking about this. There's censorship. You're not talking about this no more. And I'm against this censorship. Richard and I had an interesting conversation. He took a swing at me, but I ducked. So they go back to the people. Now, I want you to see this. How many have ever prayed for boldness? The confidence to do and say what God has called us to do. Verse number 29 of chapter 4. "Now, Lord, look at their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. By stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. When the boldness of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you're not only going to have boldness to speak, but you're going to have the boldness to do the works that Jesus did. It's for all of us. And all I want to do this morning is feed you a saltine cracker spiritually to make you thirsty. Seems like I read someplace that he who thirsts out of his innermost being will what? Amen. Flow rivers of living water. Amen. John chapter 7, words of Jesus. I want to tell you something. Being politically correct in this day and age has no comparison with being biblically correct. We back up, we shut up, and the other ones get louder and louder and louder and louder. It's time we take a stand.
Amen.
It's time we face the onslaughts in the name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, and we're going forth. We're not backing up. We're not stopping. We're not denying. We're not quitting. Thank God for Phil.
Amen.
Someone with enough guts to tell people he knew what was going to happen, that this is wrong. For those of you without TV, that's Duck Dynasty. Amen. Amen. But what else happens? You've been commissioned. When you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have that encounter. The Holy Spirit encounters you, empowers you, just leads, directs, and guides. And then he begins to make some inward changes. Kirk talked about it this morning. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, and self-control. That's with the Holy Spirit. When he comes in, he brings that with you, with him. Your life is changed. There's a lot of people who are just becoming negative about everything. The Holy Spirit isn't negative. The Holy Spirit's full of love. And he teaches us how to love the unlovely. He teaches us how to love the ones that have hurt us, done things to us. He teaches us how to live a life of joy and peace. Remember Jesus said, "My peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you." Don't let your heart be troubled and don't let it be afraid. You're the guard of that. But the Holy Spirit equips you to stand strong and not in turmoil in the midst of situations that would normally blow your mind. Amen. And then he gives us the gifts of the Spirit, the empowerment, the gift you need at that time. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, gift of faith, working of miracles, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy. God never left anything out of what we need to do the work that Jesus did. And so we come to that place where we just let it happen. We come to that place where we desire more. A lot of believers, something's missing, but they're not sure what it is. God is just saying there's more. Step into my Holy Spirit. It's a gateway. It's a door. It's not a badge of accomplishment. It's coming to a place where he takes our lives, empowers us. And then not only empowers us, but he leads us. I hear a lot of people saying, "Boy, I need to go to somebody. I need to go witness somebody. I need to do this." Wait a minute. How about saying, "Holy Spirit, lead me to somebody. I'm not going to be in a panic. I'm not going to be in a rush. I'm not going to be in a hurry. There's somebody around me today that needs to hear from you. Lead me. Direct. Help me." You see, for us to do the work of the ministry without the Holy Spirit is you trying to drive to church with no gas in your car. How far do you get? What?
And no car.
And no car. And so here's what happens. There's one basic baptism, but there's many fillings. The early church was baptized in the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. They were filled at the appointment when they wanted to have the boldness. They were filled again. It's not a one-time last forever. But it's his presence and his power, and it breaks the bondage of fear. The Bible says he didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's the working of the Holy Spirit. No matter what you're facing, God's answer is not for you to be afraid. Whatever's going on in your life, God's answer is not you to throw up your hands and say, "Everything always goes wrong." I know you never have, but I have. We're a little bit like Gideon. "God, if you are in the land, how come these things are happening? Can I tell you why things happen? Because God has to work with people." And a lot of people don't want anything to do with God. And so where are we at? You know, I get tired spiritually, of walking by people with oxygen hoses in their nose in the mall or somewhere and not do anything. I get spiritually tired of seeing people in wheelchairs and people with cancer and people with heart disease and things going on. But there's something we can do. We can hear from the Holy Spirit when to step in and when to do and what to do. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't push you, He leads you. You may feel this morning, well, Pastor, just pushing us. No, I don't want to do that. I want the Holy Spirit to lead us into the fulfillment of the calling of God on the body of Christ. But it's really up to us. He's done all He can. He's freely given us everything we need, as Jerry read earlier. He's made us partakers of His divine nature. He's made us new creations. He's given us everything the Bible says in 2 Peter that pertains to life and godliness. And yet at times, we feel discouraged, we feel downcast, we feel depressed, we go through a lot of stuff. And God is saying, just come to Me. Like many of you, gone through sickness, I've gone through 10 days of a sick wife. Friday morning, I spent 5 hours in prayer before I came to serve breakfast, or 3 hours in prayer before I came to serve breakfast. And your mind begins to play and your heart begins to beat and you start saying, oh, it should be beating all the time. And you start wondering what's going on and how is this going to end. And then you just come to a place of saying, God, she's in Your hands. My worry and my fear doesn't do anything to help the situation. Amen. We come to a place, and she was doing good yesterday for a while. I took her out for a little bit and came home, and she was in pain, and I just started praying for her. She was still sleeping this morning when I came to church after taking puppy out. But we face these things, and our mind begin to just roam, and we need to just be focused, because God is still God. God is still God. And He wants us filled with the Spirit of God. Filled with the Spirit of God. There's a lot of issues we go through and we think we almost have to go through them all by ourselves, but God is saying, I'm with you. I'm leading you. I've already been there. And remember to pray for one another. I told Barb the other day, I'm sure glad that you're going to be healed because then you can pray for me at 2 o'clock in the morning. But from 2 to 5, I'm just, every morning, it used to be 3, but now it's not. This morning it was 1:30. But it's just, as you wake up in the middle of the night, don't just try to go back to sleep. Say, God, what do You want from me? What do You want? What are You looking for? And fellowship with Him. He wants to fellowship with you. He wants to spend time with you. Because He loves you. You are His child. And don't run away from Him because something goes wrong. Run to Him. Just run to Him. He's there like the prodigal son's father. So I'd like to close with what we did last Sunday. I'd like everybody just to stand.